I'm Chance.
And I'm Sarah Catherine.
And this is Conservation Connection,
presented by Last Chance Endeavors.
We are a husband and wife team running a wildlife education nonprofit. It's focused on connecting students to their environment.
Each week, here on Conservation Connection, we do just that, introducing you to the groundbreaking science and conservation work that's happening every day across the globe.
We talk to professionals in the world of conservation science and wildlife management, and we ask them about their career,
their current projects,
their wild and crazy stories from the field,
and everything in between.
This episode is a collaboration with EarthX here in Dallas, Texas.
EarthX is the largest Earth Day celebration in the world, and it brings in speakers from every corner of the environmental arena.
Listen in to hear the stories of today's environmental titans, covering everything from environmental law, ocean health, renewable energy, clean transportation, and so much more.
Let's get to the show.
Welcome to another EarthX episode of Conservation Connection. I'm really excited because we've got some pretty special guests sitting here in front of us today. We're talking with Ashlyn Clark and Charlie Peebler, and they are two heirs to our oceans based out of California. So welcome to the show.
Thank you.
We're really excited to have you guys here today. I want to start with, will the two of you give us your ages?
I'm Ashlyn and I'm 13 years old.
I'm Charlie and I'm 15.
And these two are doing more conservation work than most people do by the time they get to their 30s. So let's dive right into that. I know you guys each have your own areas of focus. So Charlie, when it comes to caring about the oceans, what specific issues are you interested in?
Well, from the time I was young, I've always been interested in octopus. And so through that, I started focusing on coral and deep sea habitats. Because of the many species of octopus that live in these two very different habitats. And throughout my journey in becoming an ocean protector, I've seen a lot of issues be interconnected and affect these important habitats.
Awesome. And what about you, Ashlyn?
I'm focusing more on ocean legislation and policy, which is a bit different from other kids' focus areas because it's not really connected to a very specific human impact or an animal. But I think it's very important to look at a lot of ocean issues from kind of the lens of policy and legislation, because that's really going to help us make some big picture change in conservation.
And to zoom out a little, tell us, what is Heirs to Our Ocean?
Heirs to Our Oceans is a group of environmental youth leaders. We're a nonprofit, and we're dedicated to saving our oceans through inspiring and raising awareness amongst other youth in our generation to protect our oceans and waterways for us and future generations.
Yeah, we're really kind of all about connecting youth globally, a lot from underserved communities really around the world, and getting all youth connected around the problem of ocean conservation.
So this is something that's really near and dear to my heart, because I was fortunate, like you guys are, that I had a support system when I was very young to feel like I had some agency, to feel like I had a voice and a way to affect change that helps the environment from a very early age. So how did this come about? What made you say, I want to get involved in environmental policy? I don't think I knew what environmental policy was when I was y'all's age, or if I did, it wasn't my focus area. I was mostly interested because I really loved animals and I wanted to protect the places that they lived. So something like Ashlyn, environmental policy, how was that something that became your passion?
Well, it kind of started in a little bit of a strange way, because I watched the film Mission Blue about Sylvia Earle and her work trying to create hope spots across the globe. And I mean, I'm still interested in hope spots and marine protected areas, which is a part of ocean legislation. But then even broader to policy, I was just watching that movie and seeing like all the problems that are really happening in our oceans. And I was so confused as to like which one I could possibly choose, because they were all interconnected and they were all so important. And I thought the best way to really cover all of those problems was through ocean policy. And yeah, it kind of takes the most broad approach.
Definitely agree with that. And what about you, Charlie?
So the organization started when my sister took an interest in sea otters, and she really wanted to learn a year of oceans. And because I'm an independent learner, my mom decided that we were going to make a movie about our oceans. And really, my sister's passion reminded me of my passion for octopus. And Dakota, my sister, and I got together a bunch of our friends and people that our friends knew, and we came together as the first Aristotle's chapter. And from the movie, it rolled into the movement. And while we are still making the film, the main focus is the movement nowadays.
That's awesome.
So, Charlie, at such a young age, how were you like, I want to develop this and I want to get other people involved. I want to make this a whole movement and go through the process that it takes to get there. So how did you decide to make this a nonprofit?
So my mom has a background as a lawyer in law. Obviously, she's a lawyer. and we decided to change the movie into a movement because originally the movie was supposed to inspire a movement, but we realized it was more important to get kids inspired now and have that be the journey as opposed to have the journey be after the movie. Because there's so many movies out there about our oceans and the issues that they're facing, whereas there's not as many movies out there about a global upswell of kids rising up to face these crises.
Absolutely crises. Right.
I love that.
Absolutely. And the other thing is that it's very time sensitive. Now is the time to act. And no one knows that better than the younger generations that are seeing it and seeing what it, you know, descriptions of what it used to be like and seeing that is not what I have been given. You know, that's not what I... the hand that I have been dealt with my generation. And I really commend you guys on not waiting around for some adult to say, oh yeah, you guys should do this, but for you guys just taking ownership over it. Because the truth is that the younger you are, the more time you have left on this planet, the longer you have to deal with the consequences of environmental change. And so I think you guys are an excellent example of people taking ownership over their own futures from the very beginning.
So what led y'all to come out to EarthX, and specifically EarthX Ocean?
Well, we have an Aristotle's chapter in Kentucky, and we were invited by David Helvarg, who's the founder of the Blue Frontier Organization, and who we've worked with a lot at the March for the Ocean and in lobbying in Washington, D.C. He invited us to come speak here after he saw what one of the heirs from Kentucky had written about their work with waterway cleanups and all the work that they're doing with e-waste in Kentucky.
So we just talked about Kentucky a little bit. How broad is Heirs to Our Ocean? How far are you spread?
Heirs to Our Oceans has several chapters. We have three chapters in California, one in Orange County, the Founding Heirs chapter in the San Francisco Bay Area, and a chapter in Pescadero, which is a small town on the coast of California, just underneath Half Moon Bay. And our next expansion was to Palau, which is in Micronesia. And from Palau, we have three or four chapters, I guess, in that country. It's more of a small community, though. And we have a chapter in Guam and several independent heirs spread throughout Micronesia and New Zealand.
So it's wow. It's really a global movement.
Yeah.
I'm going to say that one more time. Wow. That's fantastic that it started with basically a group of friends who got together and said, we want to take action to help protect our oceans. So how did this grow from your group of friends wanting to take action to protect the ocean to an international movement in Palau, in Micronesia, in New Zealand, all over the place? What was that process of growing it like?
I think it really started when, like Charlie was saying, we realized that we didn't just want to make a movie about the ocean. So many people have already done that. We started realizing that it was a bigger problem, that we needed to get more than just us involved. And I think our executive director, April, and Charlie's mom had some connections in Palau, so that seemed like the first place to go. And we thought it was still going to be pretty small, the organization. But after we went there and we started meeting all these people that really wanted to get inspired and empowered to protect our oceans, we realized that we needed to do that. We needed to give so many more youth the opportunity to protect their oceans, especially youth that already hadn't had that opportunity.
Fantastic.
Do y'all have a 10-year vision for what this movement will turn into or what you want it to turn into?
So every year we host a camp, the Summit for Empowerment, Action, and Leadership. And out of that camp almost always comes a new chapter or group or independent heir who wants to continue the movement. And there's always something that one of those kids will do to protect our oceans. And so I think in the future, if we keep holding these camps, if we keep reaching out, attending events, that's where we met the Kentucky Heirs, was at a United Nations event, then I'm pretty sure this movement will not only be from Micronesia to the Midwest of the U.S., but all around the world.
Absolutely. So I'm 26. Am I too old to be an heir to the ocean?
Well, our ages do go from about 9 to 17. Of course, we can make some exceptions if you're younger or slightly older. But we are actually running into this problem. Some of the heirs are like graduating high school, going into college, and balancing those two things is really hard. So we're kind of experimenting right now, seeing exactly what's going to happen. But we definitely do want to keep older heirs around to be not just chaperones, but mentors to younger heirs to help them grow in the organization and help them become empowered young leaders.
I love it. And especially, I will say, as someone that did a lot of conservation work when I was younger in elementary, middle, and high school, and now as somebody who has entered into the job market, I wish that I had had somebody who had gone through this transition recently to help me figure out how I could take what I did when I was younger and leverage it into a career. And I think the idea of not just aging out the older, which is funny because older means 19 in this case, the older heirs, but keeping them around to be mentors, I think that's a great idea so that you can take this movement that started with you guys and have it continue to grow, not just geographically, but also also grow across time and age. I think that's fantastic.
Mm-hmm. So if we had any listeners who wanted to get involved, where could they go to find out more information from you guys?
Heirs2OurOceans.org, of course, with the www dot at the front. That's our website, but it's going through some updates, so you can contact us there. We have a Facebook and an Instagram, also at Heirs2OurOceans, and that's heirs as in inheriting and not
heirs the like the heir.
Yeah.
So if you guys, if you're listening and you want to figure out a little bit more about this organization, you want to learn more, scroll down, check out the show notes, because we're going to put those links so that you guys can just click right on it from this episode.
And besides joining your organization, what's some advice that y'all have for what anyone can do in their day-to-day life to help to protect our oceans and make a difference?
It boils down to, I think, three main things. First and easiest to do is change your lifestyle, and that includes getting rid of single-use plastics, driving less, wearing sweaters instead of turning the heat on. And then second would be to support your local youth, support them in their passions and where they want to go with the environment and, I guess, their careers. And third would be talk to your congresspeople, decision makers, your policymakers, because in the end, if there's enough demand, then there's something that's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. I absolutely agree.
One last question for you guys. You do a lot of public education, right? You're trying to get people to care about the oceans. Do you focus that primarily at other youth, or do you also work to educate adults about how what they're doing affects your tomorrows?
Oh, definitely youth and adults. I think this is something where, like I was saying before, really everyone needs to get involved. So it's the next generation stepping forward. It's previous generations helping us out. It's people from around the world coming together to solve these problems. So definitely educating youth about what they're going to be inheriting, how they can help fix these problems, and then also adults on how they can support us, what they've been up to has hurt us, and all those things.
Yeah. The last generation, the adults nowadays, they've heard from their peers, their scientists, and those scientists can give us the real world incredible information, and then they'll hear the voice of their grandchildren and their children instead of their peers that they've been hearing from decades. Yeah.
You guys are doing awesome work. Thank you so much for sitting down with us and being on the show today. We really, really appreciate your time.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Conservation Connection.
If you enjoyed our podcast, go ahead and subscribe to make sure you catch every episode that we post.
We would love to hear from you. So if you want to reach out, go to our website, lastchanceendeavors.com/contact, and shoot us an email.
We love questions from our listeners. So if you heard something that you want to know more about, be sure to let us know.
We'll post bonus content that addresses your questions and gives you a little more information.
A big thanks to EarthX for hosting us, and a big thanks to you for listening. Don't forget to tune in next week.